Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Saturday. Thanks for joining us. This special episode is brought to you by our great friends at Cardio Miracle. Support healthy blood flow and deliver more vitamins, nutrients, and minerals to your entire body. Get started now for a healthier, happier you by visiting cardiomiracle.com/fearless. Receive 10% off your first order, 15% if you choose to subscribe and save. They also offer a 60-day, no-risk, 100% money-back guarantee. Cardio Miracle has been helping you. It's been helping me. Let it help you. special episode here, guys. I want to talk about something I'm calling the Biden PSYOP. I think the left is setting us up for a PSYOP here. The October surprise is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen, and it's because the left has a Joe Biden problem, and they got to fix it, and they're going to do something very, very desperate to get him off the ticket. And I'm not sure there's no length they won't go to, I think, to get him off the ticket, and I'm going to explain to you why, what's making me this sort of suspicious that there's a PSYOP going on. And so when I look at the left and I look at their influencers and the things that they're saying and how everybody, these influencers that are all leftists and controlled by Hollywood and the media industry and George Soros and all this stuff, many of them are publicly distancing themselves from Joe Biden. And so, or from leftist policies. And it's like, Bill Maher is kind of like the ringleader of a lot of this. Bill Maher, for the last 2 to 3, 4 years, has been pretending like he has problems with the left and has been calling out the idiocy of the left. But he never pivots away from the left. He will criticize them and rip them. And those of us on the conservative side, oh, look, yeah, he's the rational liberal, and he says things we agree with, and we celebrate him, and we should still, basically, we're lending him credibility and basically signaling to people like, hey, Bill Maher, he's the liberal you can trust. And so now I'm looking at other people follow suit and start mimicking Bill Maher's behavior. I've talked about it as it relates to Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is a leftist who pretends to be conservative, and he's friends with Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and Patrick Bet-David and all. This is all a gimmick. And I to be honest with you, like when I see people buddying up to Stephen A. Smith, it kind of raises my eyebrow. And it's like, hey, Hannity, what are you doing here? Stephen A. Smith is a leftist. And he's a controlled, he's what they controlled opposition. But this week, I saw Charlemagne the God. And I think we got two different clips of Charlemagne the God talking about diversity, equity, inclusion. And I saw Elon Musk celebrate Charlemagne the God on Twitter. He celebrated. Charlemagne's on The Daily Show or on Comedy Central, and he does some 5-6 minute monologue about diversity, equity, and inclusion. He calls DEI trash. But if you actually watch the video, he trashes DEI, but manages to trash conservatives and right-wing people like they're the real demons. And it's like, I saw Elon Musk applaud this, and I've seen other people applaud this. Oh, even Charlemagne, he's changing, and even he's being reasonable. And I'm like, no, he's really not. He's posturing. And he's posturing for a specific reason. I couldn't put my finger on it. And Ken, what I'm about to explain today about this Biden saga, it's all speculation. But that's all we're left to do, is to try to, what are their actions saying? So I want to play these Charlemagne the God clips back to back. It's Sod 11 and 12. Go ahead and play them back to back, and then I'm going to further elaborate.
The truth about DEI is that although it's well-intentioned, it's mostly garbage, okay? It's kind of like the Black Little Mermaid. Just because racists hate it doesn't mean it's good. And you know I'm right, because every one of you has sat through one of those diversity training sessions and thought, this is some bullshit. And it's not just you. Over 900 studies have shown that DEI programs don't make the workplace better for minorities. In fact, it can actually make things worse because of the backlash effect. Remember DARE from school? Y'all remember DARE? Yeah. She said, woo. DEI training is like DARE for racism. And you all know how effective that was. I was sitting there going, oh, shit, there's a ton of fun drugs I should try. I didn't even know about Molly. Thanks, Officer John. But the biggest failure of DEI is that the number of Black people in power at big companies is basically the same as it was 5 years ago. In fact, maybe the only thing that DEI has accomplished is giving racist white people cover to be openly racist. But yeah, they're blaming DEI for everything. Even that bridge in Baltimore. They called Baltimore's mayor the DEI mayor, like he was given the job for being Black. Then they said the shipping company was too focused on DEI instead of safety. But almost the entire leadership of the company is white. No Black people, right? If anything, the Baltimore mayor, he should have been the one to make it racist. Just come out like, these crackers knocked down my bridge. Okay? All right? And one of y'all crackers better pay for it. Okay? And honestly, I'm not surprised these programs didn't work. And here's why. It's just corporate PR. They want good vibes. And also, they want to cover their ass. Okay? Did you know that if a company gets sued for civil rights violations, just having a DEI program will be counted as evidence in their favor, even if the program doesn't do shit? Okay? It's the I have a Black friend of the legal system. Right? We don't need corporate DEI. Yes, we want diversity and equity and inclusion, but we don't want it from Vaseline. Although I'm not going front, Vaseline has been there for the Black community. Respect. Okay? Right? That's right. Moisturized. Okay? Look, man, real DEI is only going to come from Black leadership. I don't know how to do it because I'm not a Black leader, but I do know how to tell if it's working. Just keep an eye on right-wing media. The more they're freaking out, the more progress we're making.
You see, that ending point is the entire key to their strategy. See how reasonable Charlemagne is? Even Elon Musk applauded what he said here. DEI is garbage. But what Charlemagne's real message is that, hey, the strategy that we need to employ is, are we pissing off conservative white people? He said right-wing media, but what he means is, are we pissing off conservative white people? If we're frustrating them, we're making progress. Who defines progress that way? Let's say you're in a marriage or in a relationship with anybody. And look, we're all in a relationship, an American relationship. Who defines progress as, oh, I'm angering the other people that I'm in a relationship with? That's not progress. It's a strategy. And that's why he went back to racist and calling people racist, because he knows no matter what he criticizes about the left and their policies, as long as he can convince you that the other side is racist, you won't care what the policies are. You won't care how unfair the policies are. Their whole bet is, and the entire strategy of the Democrat Party for many decades is, we can provide you from protection from being called racist. Literally. And for black people, you won't be seen as a sellout. So come over here and support policies that don't work for you, but at least you're not a sellout. Come over here and support policies that you know are ignorant, but at least you won't be labeled racist. That's their strategy. That's the double talk, and it's how Bill Maher has modeled for them how to both sides an interview while never switching sides. Charlemagne's basic argument is, hey, our policies will make you sick, but those guys will lynch you. So you can die slowly under our sickness, or the racist can lynch you. That's the myth he's selling. But it's indicative of a strategy change, because they used to not criticize the left at all. But now they do, and it's to build up their credibility. They want to be seen as reasonable and rational. And so this thing of trying to appear reasonable and rational is a setup so that when they have to pivot, in my view, to a new presidential candidate before November 5th, they want you to see Charlemagne. They want you to see Bill Maher. They want you to see Stephen A. Smith. They want you to see The Rock as a rational, trusted voice. Let's watch The Rock. He just went on the Will Cain show, I believe, yesterday. And again, this is The Rock going on Fox News to sit down with Will Cain. This is all a setup. What's The Rock doing? And again, I don't really have a problem with The Rock. But what's he doing on Fox News other than trying to posture as a centrist? And what's he posturing for? What's the setup? The payoff is, there's some sort of payoff down the line for him appearing on Fox News, and he goes on Will Cain's show and basically says he won't endorse Joe Biden. Let's play the clip.
You made that endorsement in 2020. Are you happy with the state of America?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this. This is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
So that's The Rock saying he's not endorsing Joe Biden. And he's saying that, what is it? Are we April 4th or 5th? He's getting out in front, walking, stepping away from Joe Biden. And he's doing it on Fox News. He's not doing it on MSNBC or CNN. He's doing it on Fox News. He's trying to appeal to that audience. See how reasonable I am? Even I'm frustrated with Joe Biden. He's not saying, like, I'm hopping on board with MAGA and Donald Trump. He's saying, I'm stepping away from Joe Biden. The Democrats have a trick up their sleeve. I believe it's Michelle Obama. I'm still believe that. I know all the posturing, she's not going to do it, blah, blah, but I believe there's going to be some event that happens in October, or maybe September, that's going to make people say, oh, well, because of this emergency situation, now I will run for president. That's what I think. And The Rock wants to be in position when this surprise candidate comes out of nowhere, likely named Michelle Obama. He can jump behind her, and reasonable men and people will be like, yeah, you know, Rock was critical of Joe Biden. We can trust him. I'm going to give you another example. I think this guy's name is Zink. I can't really pronounce Zink's last name, but he runs the Young Turks, or he's the face of the Young Turks, or maybe he founded the Young Turks. I mean, it's as far left of an organization over social media, or over YouTube, or over the internet, so in the digital space, as we have. It's as far left as Media Matters, as far left as MSNBC. It's a far left group. And Zink has been one of these people with Trump derangement syndrome. He's one of these people that's caped up for Joe Biden, caped up for all of them. Today, says that he's going to support RFK. Let's play the clip.
For the first time today, I'm now considering RFK Jr. Now,
what?
I know, shocking, right? And hold on. Let me tell you why. So is it because I think, maybe he's right about vaccines? No, he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on vaccines. And on several other things where he believes in conspiratorial theories that I don't believe in at all. So why on God's green earth would I consider RFK Jr.? Well, until now I hadn't, because of those crazy things that I don't come anywhere near believing. But I thought about it, Anna, and Trump I would never support in a million years. Biden is now funding a genocide and is an awful choice, has been corrupt his whole life. You're never going to get anything but corruption from Joe Biden. So am I positive RFK Jr. would be worse? He would probably, on health and science, definitely he would be worse. But everything else, like anti-establishment, money out of politics, I'm not positive RFK Jr. would be worse than Biden.
Something's up. People have been given instructions, talking points. Again, they don't trust a Stephen A. Smith, a Charlemagne, they don't trust them to grasp or to have an understanding of the big picture. They're told what to say. They've been told, distance yourself from Joe Biden, do things that make you appear more centrist. Hey, Charlemagne, invite Candace Owens on your show and treat her respectfully. Those were marching orders given. There's all this outreach and all this distance that they're trying. And again, you could just say, well, maybe they know how crazy the left is, and they have no other choice but to distance themselves just to maintain some integrity within themselves, just to maintain the perception of sanity. That's not their jobs. Again, when you're paying Stephen A. the kind of money that he's getting paid, when you take someone like Charlemagne with his background and the dirt in his background, he's been installed. And you give those guys direct marching orders. They only do what they're told. They know how vulnerable they are. And so everybody is putting some distance between themselves and the insanity of the left, and putting some distance between themselves and Joe Biden. And I just don't think it's an accident. And again, all the people that are providing them friendly. We should engage with everybody. We should have conversations with everybody. But we need to challenge these people when we engage with them. Like, hey, what are you doing? It can't just be, hey, let's roll out the red carpet. Stephen A. Smith is here. Babble all your goofy stuff and we'll laugh along and we'll treat you like you're not a plant, that you're not a pathological liar. We got to challenge and ask these people and present them to the audience with a bit more skepticism than what I'm seeing. Because they are executing a strategy. I'm going to say today, I don't think, and the other thing I'm going to tie into this, there's some recent polling that came out to, in the past 24 or 48 hours where Joe Biden allegedly is ahead of Donald Trump. And that kind of contradicts the polling that we saw earlier. I find it very hard to believe. I find this polling very hard to believe. I think that the polls are an indication of the desperation of Biden and his loyalists to save himself. They know they're watching people be given the instructions, distance yourself from Joe Biden, distance yourself from this insanity. And Joe Biden is sitting there going, holy cow, who's giving these guys the freedom to start criticizing me and start questioning me? That must mean they're ready to get rid of me. And so what do Biden and his loyalists do to try? Hey, look, it's not as bad in the polls. I can still win this thing. We just had a poll come out that says I can still win. This is Joe Biden trying to save himself, trying to hold on to power desperately. Because to me, the puppet masters have decided at some point Joe Biden's going to be removed from the equation. Some health crisis, something is going to happen so that Joe Biden can't run for president. And then they're going to dance out, roll out Michelle Obama, maybe Gavin Newsom, but I doubt it. I think it's going to be Michelle Obama. They're going to create some sort of crisis situation. And I think their dream scenario is to roll out some crisis situation that can be blamed on Trump and his supporters. That's where I think this is all headed. They keep constantly beating the drum. Yeah, Joe Biden, he's a bad candidate. Joe, some of the stuff we're doing is crazy. But don't forget, those Trump supporters, they're racist. They're the biggest threat to America. And so if somehow Biden can be disqualified in some kind of fashion, having something to do with Trump and his support, that's their dream scenario. And then Michelle Obama can ride in on a white horse and be the savior. Because look at everything, it's about empowering a woman. And it's about empowering a black woman. And so when you connect it to what I've talked about all this week on the show, connect to what I talked about yesterday, how they're establishing this precedent, this rule, this standard. Black women can't be touched. They can't be talked about. They can't be criticized. They can't be second-guessed. If you question them at all, you're way out of bounds. My theory, my speculation, they're going to figure out a way to install Michelle Obama as the Democrat nominee for president, and all hell's going to break loose. That's my prediction. That's all I wanted to say. We'll see you on Monday.
Freedom. I just want.